Open your Bibles, if you would please, this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. While you're turning there, we want to celebrate a victory with the Madala family and Great Commission 316 Ministries. You know, they have had a local ministry headquarters, a building for, how long have you had that? A couple of years now? 2 years. And, you know, but they're paying rent on that, which is fine. Praise God. But the Lord led them to a building not far from their home, and they bought it. Yeah. And the deal's been inked. God's provided the down payment. They got a wonderful, wonderful deal. I've toured the building. Beautiful, beautiful. It's just good. God wants us to own stuff. Amen. God wants us to own stuff. And praise God. You know, if you go from living in mom's basement or whatever to then renting, you've taken a step. But believe God. Believe God. God wants us to own things. So we're rejoicing with them over that victory. And I got a call from the Indian consulate, and they have approved my visa. Hallelujah. Glory to God through much spiritual warfare. And so, Lord willing, it looks like that I will be able to go to India with the Madalas in February. And so excited about what the Lord is doing. Praise God. One other housekeeping item. On January the 14th, that's 2 Sundays from now, there will be a production crew here capturing they have some very targeted scenes or footage that they want to get to incorporate into our television commercial. Remember, I talked to you about that. And we've already seen a rough draft of the commercial. Very nice. And but we're going to be pressing for that. So it would be great for you to be here on January the 14th. Amen. And look nice. Praise God. Because it's going to be splashed on local television and local media outlets, social media and otherwise for quite a long time to come. And but also don't pay them any mind. Just do your best to act like they're not here. Still praise God. Still raise your hands. Just do all that you do. But I wanted to give you a heads up that they are going to be here. They may be here a Sunday and a Wednesday to get the shots that they need. So praise God. Amen. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 43. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you that we know you. To be in the world as it is today and not know you. I don't know how people make that. I don't know how they navigate that. No excuse, but I understand how a lost person in the world as it is today would run to less than things and activities and people and environments and to try to medicate and navigate the world as it is today. But I'm so thankful, Father, we don't have to do that. And though we see the ebb of darkness continuing to rise on the horizon of time, Father, I thank you that darkness is not our present and darkness is not our future. Father God, you said the path of the righteous, it grows brighter and brighter until that great day. And so that's what we're looking at. Glory to God. A day of light, a day of brightness, of good things, good things, good things to come. Glory to God. And so, Father, I'm asking you to use me as an instrument today in this moment. Think through my mind. Speak through my voice. Let me speak as I ought. Let my words be, as it were, the very oracles of God. Not a man's opinion and not just words crafted by a human mind, but no, Father God, words that would be even inspired of you. Father, I thank you for the people in their part. That, as we said earlier, they've got a part in their hearts being open, to be responsive, to lay hold, and to decide, you know what, when I recognize that what this preacher's saying is the Word of God, in line with the Word of God, that I'm going to lay hold of it and receive it. Father, we thank you for all that has been, and we thank you with much anticipation for all that you have foreordained for us in 2024. I don't know that there was a time in my life I didn't think I'd ever see this year, but here we come. And we thank you, Father, that we're going to step into it with confidence and boldness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in the days, of course, you know, my schedule's been full of family time and activity as I'm sure that yours has, but I've had a phrase rolling around in my heart, bubbling up to my mind the last several days, three or four, and just took occasion to say, Father, what is that? Is that just me, or are you trying to get something over to me? And that's what I believe, that he was endeavoring to get something over to me, for you, for us, for all of us, for this moment. And it may sound cliche at first, but that's okay. But the phrase I had was a new beginning. A new beginning. I just kept hearing that, and it just would float up to my mind. Wasn't trying to think that thought. It's a good thought.
Amen.
A lot of people are thinking about a new beginning as we go into a new year. People are making goals and doing resolutions as Americans do. I know the gym that we go to will be packed for about 3 weeks. And then it'll be back to normal after that, you know. And that's all good to do. But I heard in my spirit a new beginning.
Amen.
A new beginning. Uh-huh. And then I heard a new thing.
Okay.
A new thing. And God really, it just thrilled my heart as I studied His Word about how into all things new God is. I didn't really appreciate it. Until yesterday, like I did. And I hope you're going to come into that great experience, that same experience in the next few minutes. God is not a God of the old. He is not a God of the past. He's not. He knows about the past. He was there. But He is not. Humans are about the past. The devil is about your past. But not God. You know what? Not God. God is not even, you know, he is all about future. He is all about what's coming. All about what's coming next. Amen. So in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, praise God, the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." You going to be a doer of the word? Amen. Well, that's what he said. Remember not what was. Don't consider. That means don't sit there and ponder and meditate. Amen. On things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Hallelujah. Shall you not know it? I even will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So notice that connected to God saying, I'm going to do a new thing, He makes a reference to hard and dry places. What is a wilderness? A wilderness is an untamed, unpaved, hard place that would be difficult to navigate or go through because no one has come yet along and made a way. But God said, in connection to, I'm going to do a new thing, He said, where you've been trying to go and it's hard and it seems untamed and tangled. You ever watched any of those shows or documentaries about how the West was tamed and pioneered? It was a very, people died, people sacrificed. It was a tough place to go out on the prairie, and there's no established, there's no Dollar General on every country corner, you know, for you to refresh yourself. You know, if you're going to have to make it happen. But God says, listen, I, in the midst of doing a new thing, I'm going to make a way where there was not one. And where you didn't find a way to get where you want to go in 2023, God says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And I'm going to make a way. Where it's a wilderness, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe that. There are places that have been decades long in my heart. And how do I get there? I'm trying to get there in so many areas, and I'm thankful for the ground I have gained. But there's barriers and levels and things that I know that God wants me to attain in this church to attain. And yet, so I just believe God's going to do a new thing. Amen. And where we've not seen that way forward, He's making a way. But then also in connection with God doing a new thing, He said, and I will make rivers in a desert. Well, when you think desert, what do you think about death? Deserts are marked by death. It's dead there. Things don't grow. Things don't thrive. Things don't blossom. It's dry. Amen. And God, if your life seems dry, if it's, you know, God doesn't want things to be dry in your life. And He's certainly a God of life and not death. And He says, where it's been dry, where it's been dead, where it's been hot, amen, I'm going to make a river in the midst of that. In other words, I'm going to bring a supply where there was none. I'm going to cause things to grow where things had not grown. I'm going to cause things to spring to life where there was only death before. That's connected to this passage where God said, I'm going to do a new thing. So any area of your life that has been dry, dead, barren, and fruitless, come on, you need to begin to declare, God, do a new thing, and include, make, revive that. Revive my dead, dry prayer life. Amen. Where my zeal, where I feel like I'm running on fumes in my life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, whatever. Amen. God, make that a very river. Make it what has been a weakness in my life, make it a strength. Now, we're going to have to cooperate with Him. We know that, right? You know, God's just not going to, you know, sprinkle pixie dust on you and just fix everything. But if we'll cooperate with Him. Now, let's back up into the 15th verse. We read verse 18 and 19. Let's back up into the 15th verse, and I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Amen. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. You recognize that, right? He's talking to Israel and he says, I'm the God, amen, that brought you out of Egypt through parting the Red Sea and causing you to pass through those stacked up waters on dry ground. Come on. He said, I'm the God that did that. Let me back up here, verse 17. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, and their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. Now listen to verse 18 from the New Living. But forget all that. Forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Woo, glory. Come on, he said, you think that is something? So see, when God talks about doing a new thing, He is not thinking about anything small. He's not thinking about anything small, and He's not thinking about anything natural. One of the greatest miracles God ever worked. When did He ever do that? Part an entire sea. Cause water to stack up like that. And then to dry out the ground in a moment of time, and a million or more people pass through it. And then just as the most powerful pagan army that would ever existed on the planet at that time gets drawn into that, and in one moment, their nemesis, their tormentors and enslavers for 400 years, right, drowned in the midst of the sea. And God says, forget all that. It is nothing compared, come on, to what I'm going to do. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I want whatever it is, the greatest miracle God's ever done for you, God is saying to you this morning, forget that. Forget that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. You ever seen the magician where he reaches down in the hat and he pulls out some massive thing that no way it fits in that hat? I saw a clip on a Facebook video, and this guy went out to the beach and he just plopped down. And he had this basket. Did you guys see that one? He got this beach basket and he sets it down in the midst of all these beachgoers. And he pulls out an umbrella that's about 8 feet long, and he pulls out all these toys, and he pulls out all this stuff, and people start going, what is this guy up to? And then right at the end, he pulls out a lady in a two-piece bikini and sets her down there. And everybody's just laughing, freaking out. And I hope that's not too carnal. But anyway, my point was, what prompted me about that is, whatever God's done, you think, that's it. He just tapped it out. God reaches deeper into himself and pulls. Oh, you think that is something? Wait till I reach down in here in 2024 and pull this one out for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm stirring myself up. Amen. God wants to do something new in all of our lives. He wants to do something new in this church. He wants to do something new through this church. He wants to do something new for this church. How about we just believe him? How about we just let him do it? Glory to God. Nothing he said compares to what I'm going to do. God, as I said, is the God of the new. God loves new. In the way I was thinking about how he created everything. He created everything to be not just in this unending move forward, but it's not just this line that we keep pressing into the future. I guess there is that, but that's not how God created the world we live in. God created the world we live in cycles. So a day is not unending. Aren't you glad? Because if you had a bad day and it was just unending. But God set it up. Every 24 hours, you get a new day. You get a new day. And every 7 days, you get a new week. And every 30 days on the Jewish calendar, amen, you get a new month. And after 12 30-day periods, you get a new year. And the entire solar system that we live in is on a cycle. God doesn't want things unending. He wants to give you opportunities to start again. To have a new day, a new opportunity, another chance. Praise God. Amen. God created seasons. Amen. And so there is the spring and things come out and things thrive. And then there is the fruitful season of summer. And then things begin to prepare to go into a sleepy time and a dormant time. And then there's the cold of winter. And then aren't you glad? It doesn't stay winter. Yes. It doesn't stay summer. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. But we get to experience something new.
Yeah.
God loves everything new. He's the God of the new. Amen. He gives us new days, new weeks, new months, new years, new seasons, new opportunities to separate from the failures and the disappointments of yesterday and embrace a new day, a brighter day, a promise of a better tomorrow. That's our God. Amen. In your life, God wants it new. He wants it new. I said he wants it new. I just found out, even into some things that you wouldn't think God cares about. You know, there have been times where I like wearing new clothes. If I want to enjoy the stuff I'm in. Amen. And to have to go, I put something on not long, maybe a year ago I noticed this, I put something on And then I was flipping through pictures of 6 years ago, and I'm in that outfit. I thought, nope. And I like it. I like it. But I don't want to be 6 years into the future and taking new pictures in the same shirt. And I found out God is with me in some of that. Amen? Amen. Nothing ever grows old in heaven. Amen. You know, within the word new is the meaning renew. Yeah. Renew. And some things, you know, are fine in your life, but you need your zeal for God renewed. Yeah. Amen. Your hope needs to be renewed. Your faith at times needs to be renewed. The Bible says, though this outward man perishes, yet God has set it up so that the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, your spirit man never grows old. It's constantly that eternal life that we received when we accepted Jesus is constantly making you new. And really, had it not been for sin in the fall, your body would have had been in that same flow. And the scientists and the medical community, they know, they can see, they don't understand why we age because of the way God created the body. You know, about every 7 years, you have trillions of cells in your body. But every 7 years, you know, you're not the same. It's not the same liver in you that you had 7 years ago. It's new. It's new. Your skin is new. Your hair is new. Amen. That's the way. Why? Because God's the God of the new. Amen. Think about this with me. The mentions and the emphasis in our Bibles on the word new. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." How many of you know that's right? The only reason any of us are still here today is because His mercies are not consumed. Amen. It says, "His compassions fail not." He never runs out of compassion. He spoke of two things, His mercies and His compassions. They are new every morning. God put an expiration date. It's not stale milk, nothing. Every morning His mercy is new. 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 Glory to God. Thank God. That may not mean anything to you, but it means something to me. Amen. Glory to God. How long should we carry in our hearts and minds the thought and the pain and the guilt and the shame of the mistakes of today? Not more than 24 hours, honey. Because He set it up so that when you wake up in the morning, His mercies, His compassions will be brand new. Brand new. God speaks of new things. The Bible speaks of fresh manna. Amen. The Bible talks about us, we'll look at this in a moment deeper, as being new creations. Amen. God promises us, where are we headed? A new heaven and a new earth. God is a God of second chances. He's a God of hope. He's a God of tomorrow. Amen. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Hallelujah. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't like it old. I like it new. I like the paint to look new, the carpet to look new, the walls to look new. Amen. New is excellent. Now, I do like old things that have been kept like new. You understand? Amen. But we're looking at God's desire about new this morning. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse, of course, 17. It says here, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new." He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what salvation is. Amen. Why is it like that? Because that's the way God likes it. That's the way God wants it. The Amplified translation says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new is come. Now, I'm not going to pass that opportunity. How does God define new? Well, the Amplified brings out the word fresh. Amen? If it's new, it's fresh. Amen? And God wants your church life to be fresh. Your prayer life to be fresh. Your intimacy with Him to be fresh. He wants your married life, your family life to be sweet and fresh. Not old, not dry, not stale. But fresh. New. Amen? There is a smell to new, and there's a smell to old. Amen? Glory to God. He likes it fresh. He likes it new, and that's the way He made us. Glory to God. The New Living says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Amen? You're a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The Message says, now we look inside and we see that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. You get a fresh start. You're created new. The old life is gone. A new life now burgeons. That word burgeon means it explodes forth. Amen. It just gushes out. Oh, hallelujah. Think about, I'm going to give you this list here. I'm going to rattle this off so you probably couldn't take notes on this. But in Christ, I want you to think about it. We've gone from an old covenant. What do you call it? What do we call the covenant we're in? It's a new covenant. We are called new creations. We have received new life. We've been brought into a new family. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are to put on every day the new man, that we are renewed by His Spirit day by day. As I said, we're living in a new covenant called the New Testament. We have a new commandment, the commandment of love. The Bible even says that we speak in new tongues. I'm telling you, God's the God of the new. We speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. To the faithful, Jesus promised He would give you a new name. A new name. We're going to live in a new Jerusalem. Amen. And as I said earlier, where are we all headed? God said at the end of this thing, Revelation 21:5, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth, for I make all things new. Glory to God. Brother Kyle, that's for you, man. Glory to God. Forget it. I said, forget it. Even the victories, we're thankful. We'll call them to mind when we need them. But I don't dwell on past victories. I don't wear my high school letter jacket. I gave it to my girlfriend. She never gave it back when we broke up. If I had it, I wouldn't wear it. I'm not going to live in the bygone days, the good old days. No, God's a God of the new. So the word new means fresh. But this, I looked up the word new in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to find out what it really means. And Dr. Vines gives a wonderful commentary on the Greek word kainos, that's the translated the word new here. And it means that which one is unaccustomed. So if it's new, this is the way God defines it. You're not used to it. You're not used to it. This is the way God thinks about new, different. And so when God says in Isaiah 43 and saying it to us today, behold, I do a new thing. He's saying to us, I want to make it different. It's different. Different meaning a higher quality. Amen. God wants it to be different for you in a good way. Not, here's the way God feels about the old, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It might be something might be in good condition, but it's, you ever just, there's nothing wrong with it. But it's just the same. Some of you, you're just so locked in, you wear that same leather coat that you graduated with in the 90s, and it's, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, but it's the same. Yeah. And we're all tired of looking at it. Get yourself a different dress. Sometimes it's not even new, but we'll say it's new to me. Right. Well, at least it means it's different. Sometimes some of you people, Dr. Jake has been harping on this, you're so locked into your mundane rut, your routine. You know, you get up, you do this, 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 and if it deviates from that, you are undone, you're out of sorts. Come on, get out of that rut. Have tea instead of coffee. I mean, do something different. Pray 10 minutes instead of 3. Shake it up. I love what Miss Sue's doing. Usually I could find Miss Sue right here. Where is she? She's over there. She said she had to watch Brother Scott this morning. Amen. Somebody shake it up. One time our pastor came in Oklahoma City and he switched around the whole auditorium, just threw everybody off. Amen. Praise God. Because he didn't, God doesn't want you living in a rut. Same old, 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 same old. Amen. And God, He doesn't want you to have a same old year next year. Same old struggle, same old level, same old rigmarole, same old thing. God wants to do something new, and that means God wants to do something different. How many of you, I'm telling you, shake it up. Amen. Glory to God. I've had a beard several years. Maybe I'll shave it off. I've had short hair, maybe I'll grow long hair. My wife, no. I'm just telling you, do something different. Take a different way home. I'm just. Not a beer, a beard. I don't drink beer, if that's what it sounded like. Thanks for looking out for me, dear. Amen. So the word new creature means it's unaccustomed. It's you're not used to that because it's different. See, that's what makes life exciting. A lot of people have a mistaken view of what eternity is going to be like. That we're just going to sit on the same cloud, playing the same harp, singing the same song for all eternity. No. Oh, we have no idea what the eons ahead, what the ages ahead. I don't know how he's going to, but God, there's nothing old about him. Nothing old about him. Nothing stale about him. Nothing boring about him. Let's let God do a new thing in us. Come on, let's let God do a new thing for us. The word new means recently made. If it's new, it's been recently made. The word new also means unused. Unused. I like that. It means renewal. And like I said, it means different. Different. So I want to close this morning with a couple of thoughts about how to go out and how to come in. We're still in 2023 for a few hours. The Bible is, there's a lot of little nuggets I don't have time to get really into. God cares about how we go out and how we come in. So like when he came down on Mount Sinai, he's coming down to, and they are going to come to him to meet him for the first time. And he had things for them to do. There were things he said to do. Amen. A few days before the Israelites crossed over the Jordan into Jericho under Joshua's leadership, there were things God said, I want you to do. He said, because you've never been this way before. Because I'm about to do a new thing in your life. I'm the God of the miracles, yes, of yesterday, but I'm going to work new miracles to get you into the new places that I have for you to go. So there's some basic thoughts about how to come out and then how to come in. Amen. And they're real simple, but they're important. Number one, here's how to, well, let's talk about how to go out. How do we leave 2023? Number one, leave 2023 firmly decided, I'm letting go of the past. I am letting go of the past. I am not going to bring my past with me into the new things that God is going to do in my life. I'm not going to take the mindset that was created by the struggle of yesterday and the things that I've just, maybe in my mindset, it's got to be this way because of that. No, one of the miracles of being a Christian is we are not sentenced to suffer on into the future because of the mistakes and the mess we made yesterday. His mercies are new every single morning. That's why, remember, he gives us a new day, a new week, a new month, and a new year. He didn't have to be that way, but he designed it that way because he so wants you and I to take every opportunity to embrace a new thing and not be encumbered or tripped up by what has been. And I don't care how many years, how long it's been like that. One of the keys for it to be different is that you sever yourself from what was yesterday. You've got to make a firm decision to let go of the past. In studying on new, throughout the Gospels, most of the Gospels writers rehearse this account of where Jesus is talking about old patches, new patches on old pants, and new wine and old wineskins. And of course, he says there, you don't take a new piece of cloth and use that as a patch on an old pair of pants, because the new is going to change. It's going to change shape, and it's going to pull, and it's going to create a tear that was worse before. You have to take an old piece of cloth to patch an old pair of pants. Old must match old. Then he said, no one puts new wine into an old bottle. Now, the wine skin was a leather pouch. It was a leather pouch. He said, if you put that new wine in an old leather pouch, that new wine is going to do what it does. And it's going to swell, and it's going to move, and it's going to change. It's going to do all that. And it's going to break the old pouch. It's going to burst the old pouch, and the new wine will be lost. What is Jesus saying? He's preparing a people to go out from the old covenant. Think about it. For thousands of years, this is how God was worshiped. This is how you did it. This is how your spiritual life was run. He says, listen, you cannot take that. Jesus said, that is the old pair of pants. And I'm about to go to the cross and make everything different. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be new. And the Holy Ghost is going to come. And he's going to pour new wine. Right? New wine is mentioned over and over and over, and it's a type of the Holy Ghost and the movement of God and the movement of the Spirit in your life. And he says, God cannot pour new wine into an old wine skin. And so the new thing God wants to do in your life in 2024, he cannot pour that new thing into your old bottle, into your old mindset, into your old way of thinking. So you got to, the way you come out is you throw away that old bottle. Get yourself a new bottle, a new paradigm, a new expectation, a new thought process. And let that something that is worthy and ready that God can pour that new thing into. Because God doesn't want to pour out that new thing and it spill all over the ground, because he's pouring new things into old mindsets. New things into old habits. New things into old stale whatevers. So you got to take a few moments today and say, you know what? And a big thing of this is I'm going to discipline my mind. Right? That means I'm not going to think about it. I don't care how often the devil wants to remind me of this and that and the condition and the struggle and the sins and the mistakes and what I didn't do or what I did do. I am not going to give him room in my mind. That's how you create a new mindset. I am not going to dwell. He said, forget all that. We're not going to turn there for time's sake, but in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, you know, I have not near apprehended, I have not near arrived, but one thing I do. You have to read it real carefully, you miss it. One thing I do. In other words, he's saying, one thing I do have figured out. I haven't laid hold, I haven't arrived, but one thing. One thing I do. One thing I have got figured out. What was it? Forgetting. Forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on into the things that are before. Paul said, that's one thing I've gotten down. That's one thing I practice. And the word press means I strain. I strain. If you feel like you got to strain to break free, then you strain. You know, if you're going to get to God's new, to God's future for your life next year, you don't have time to think about that, to spend time looking there. You're not going there. That's done. It's over. God didn't even care about it. And he says, I press. In other words, I strain. I strain to lay hold of the new thing that God wants to do in my life. So many people that reach a certain level of success, that level of success becomes their worst enemy. Good is the enemy of great. Having enough is the enemy of abundance. Well, my bills are paid. So what? Thank God. How about giving something new, something different in offerings? Believe in God for more. He's the God of increase. Well, I have enough. I'm satisfied. That's an old wineskin that cannot contain the increase that God wants to bring. So when you get a level of success and a measure of comfort in your life, that becomes an enemy to you. Thank God for it. But you have to do whatever you have to do to maintain a sense of desperation about you. Wigglesworth said, there's only one thing in my life I'm satisfied with. That's what Wigglesworth said. There's only one thing in my life I'm satisfied with, and that is the level of dissatisfaction I have with where I'm at. We're talking about a man that God used to raise 23 people from the dead. Wigglesworth from the grave a few years ago got a preacher friend of mine filled with the Spirit. When I couldn't, I'm alive and I'm witnessing to him, for he did it from the grave. But he says, I'm not satisfied. You should not be satisfied with the level of revelation you have, faith you have, fruit you've borne, service that you've given. There's more. So that's number one. You have to sever yourself. That's how you come out into a new season. You let go and don't touch it. The second thing I'll say just very quickly is do take a moment to evaluate, take stock and inventory of the big important things in your life. It is good to do that before you go into the new. Where am I? How are things? And can I honestly say I'm in the perfect will of God for my life? Am I on the path that He's called me to walk? Am I bearing fruit? Is my faith working? How's my family? How's my health? How's my finances? You know, not up to open up another jar here, but the Jews celebrate, they commemorate a new year in, it's typically late September, early October. And what they call, they have feasts, you know, Jewish festivals. And it's really originally not a related to, God didn't mean it to be the new year, it just ended up being that. But for the Jews, the new year is a feast called Rosh Hashanah, which is what we call the Feast of Trumpets. But after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, it was not just a feast of trumpets for the Jews. They adopted it also because it did coincide with the new year on the Jewish calendar. So there's some insights you could get from how God viewed a new year. So Rosh Hashanah to a Jew is called the head of the year. But it is also called the day of darkness and judgment and the day of change. Now, the Talmud, which is a book, not inspired book, but it's a book of oral tradition of the Jews, they have this traditional view that at the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the new year on God's calendar, that it is the year of judgment. They believe that Satan appears on this day to accuse Israel before God about all the sins and mistakes of that year as they go into a new year. And one of the reasons why they blow trumpets is to try to drown out the voice of the devil who is accusing them before God and hopefully to confuse them. But for a Jew, as they enter into the new year because of this, they also believe that on this day that when Satan brings these accusations against Israel, that God goes to the books of life and death, and he reads what has been recorded of every individual in those books as they go into a new year. So for a Jew, a practicing Jew, going into a new year, it's a year of evaluation. It's a year of repentance. It's a day. It's a moment. Right? Because they believe that God is taking a fresh look at how they've done and how they've lived. So how do we go out of 2023 and step on? My first point about stepping into 2024 is, if need be, repent. Repentance gets a bad rap, but it's a gift from God. For things to be different, that means things have to change. And the very definition of the word repent means change. All the word repent means is I acknowledge that wasn't right. I acknowledge the wrong. I'm taking on a change of mind and a change of direction. That's how you go out and come in. That's how the Jews on the day of judgment, on Rosh Hashanah, when they believe the devil is accusing them and God is reading the account of the year on their life, they're on their face before God saying, Father, I judge myself. And I ask you to forgive me. And see, now they're moving into the next feast called the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Amen. So listen, if you don't want to carry some things into 2024, evaluate, judge yourself, and repent. Amen. Confess anything you need to confess to God, get it under the blood, and then go back to what was step one was, forget it. Forget it. Amen. Amen. Coming in, how to come in. Number one, that's what it was kind of a transition thing, and that is repent. Change your mind. If need be, set yourself to change your direction. God can't do anything new in our life without our cooperation. And what is the definition of insanity? If you're going to repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting some sort of different result, that's insanity. So if you want to do something new, you're going to have to do something new. If you want God to take you places you've never gone before, you're going to have to be willing to do things you have never done before. Amen. Amen. The second thing about how to, so the first thing about how to come into the new season was repent. Number two is renew your commitment and your acknowledgement of His lordship over your life. One of the things associated for the Jews in Rosh Hashanah, their festival honoring the head of the year, they have customs and rites and things that they do during this holiday that rehearse the lordship and the kingship of Yahweh over Israel. And as you go into a new year, it's good. I acknowledge you. Renew your acknowledgement. He's the boss. Make a new, fresh commitment. You're the boss next year. You're Lord of my life. I reaffirm that you're in charge and I'm not. Amen. You're leading and I'm following. You're commanding and I am instructed, I'm obeying. Amen. Renew your commitment to Jesus as Lord in your life. Number three, set and come into the new season with goals. Amen. And we've talked, God's had us talking to you about that. But I want to say, don't make your goals just natural goals. If you've written down, clean out the pantry, good. Do that, especially before I come over. Amen. Do that. Praise God. Make sure you're including spiritual goals, prayer goals, giving goals, witnessing goals, serving goals. Amen. Things you want to experience in God, write them down. They need, those things need to be first, not last. Seek ye first the King and the kingdom. Amen. And so, and then last of all, number four was write your vision. That's how you come out. You write, you have to have a clear view. Those Israelites, they knew, we're going to follow these priests. We're going to say 2,000 cubits away from the priests, he said, because we're coming out, we're going in, and we've never been this way before. So the ones that God said to be in the lead, the priests, we're going to give them room so that we can watch where they went as they navigated the river and crossed. And they knew their vision was Jericho. That was their vision. There was more to come after Jericho, but that's what they had their eye on. Amen? And you need to go into 2024 with clarity. Where are you going? Where are you going, and what are you want, what walls are you wanting to tear down? What spoil are you wanting God to bring you into? What victories? And write them down. You go out by forgetting the past, but you do an honest evaluation of where you're at. You come into a new season forgetting what was. You've done all the business you need to do with God and yourself. Amen? About what was. And now you're looking ahead. And if you've need be, you've changed your mind. You've changed your direction. You've repented. And you've got a clear focus and a vision. And you've renewed your commitment to Jesus as Lord as you come into a new season. And you've got clarity about what you're believing God for and where you're headed. That's how you go out and that's how you come in. Next Sunday, we will have for you our annual written form to help you with your 2024 Write the Vision. Amen. But you can go ahead and get started on it. Amen. But we will have things that the church will be believing God for that you could be in faith with us about. Amen. On January the 21st, we should have all, we're going to take January and make our, we're going to give that month to preparation for 2024. And I'm going to have some things in my heart as the pastor here to communicate to us as a congregation. Amen. But by January 24th, we'll all have a written vision. And we're going to bring that to church. And we're going to release our faith over that. Amen. It'll be online. You can download it. We'll have paper copies. You're going to be with us? Amen. Why don't we all stand on our feet this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's just a cliche thing. That was easy to come up with, wasn't it? No, it really wasn't. And it may sound cliche, but I believe that's the word, that's God's heart. That's God's heart. That's God's heart. And we don't have to wait once a year for God to bring around a new opportunity. New day, new week, new month, new mercy. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes.